So I want to talk about the different enemies of spiritual life, spiritual individuality, spiritual groups, so that you can gain more and more understanding about the pitfalls of spiritual organizations. And why they, over time, become hated. I should add to that, they deserve to be hated. Maybe hated is a strong word, but they deserve a lot of the bad press that they get. And one area which religions are famous for is their closed-mindedness. The major religions of the world all have one thing in common, and that is that they are closed-minded. Every major religion in the world believes that every other major religion in the world has something seriously wrong with it, does not really know the way to connect to God or to find God, does not know the truth, and the religions of the world take it to the point where they actually believe that other religions of the world are evil and well deserve death, because they are evil. Now, this, of course, is a fact that is well documented throughout the centuries. You've heard me say this a number of times. I'm going to repeat myself because it is now this specific subject that we're focusing on.
So, when you say specifically open-mindedness, does that mean about thinking? Does it mean that they don't think for themselves?
Yeah, I'm talking right now about the religions. religions, people in religions from childhood are taught to actually hate members of other religions, even though it is a religion, which is all religions are supposed to be about love. and an awareness and an understanding. Yet the religions of the world teach their children to hate members of other religions. For instance, the Muslim children are taught that the Christian children are evil. And it is even said in wartime that if a young warrior kills a Christian, then this automatically assures that he will attain a place in heaven. So this is propaganda that they hear from birth. The Hindus hate the Muslims. The Muslims hate the Hindus. The Hindus hate the Christians. The Christians hate the Hindus. Now, of course, I am generalizing here, which means that it is not true in every case. But in certain religions, it is true in more cases than not. Taught to hate, not open-minded. So you hear this word used, or you hear this phrase used, your God, my God. Your God may act like that, but my God would not do such a thing. Or your God may speak such a thing or say that such a thing is true, but my God does not say like that. From childhood, people around the world are taught to hate, dislike, and view with a very bad attitude people that belong in other religions. And again, history, you know, you can go on and on. The Hindus are very proud of the fact that they drove the Buddhists out of India some centuries ago. But what is wrong with Buddhism? And of course, everyone knows of the constant strife and killing between the Hindus and the Muslims. The Christians, there are books written about the activities of the Christians and their escapades around the world and how they went out with a religious banner at the head of their war party. And just went from village to village, from city to city, just slaughtering men, women, and children. Primarily because they weren't Christian. Again, the bottom line to what I am speaking about tonight is closed-mindedness. Or, of course, the opposite, open-mindedness. people who are being taught about God are not taught along with learning about God. They are not taught open-mindedness. They are taught to hate members that belong in other religions. So just see, religions are behind teaching hatred on a mass scale around the world. Organizations that should be teaching love, love your neighbor, even love your enemy as yourself. Not only are they not teaching love, but they are perpetuating hatred to the point of killing, where it becomes all right to kill, as long as it's not your religion. Because the bottom line of most religions is they believe that members that belong to other religions deserve to die. Because of what they believe in, because of what they teach, because of the way they think, they are open candidates for death. For instance, it was said on the radio in Iran during trouble between the Christians, or between the United States, I should say, and Iran, that they said on the radio, they would say on the radio, kill a Christian, go to heaven. Now this is the religions. And it is just an unfortunate fact that this has always been this way, and it has always been encouraged. In other words, anyone in the church who would speak up and say, well, wait a minute, maybe, the Buddhists aren't so bad. Well, they would be kicked out of the church, or they would be, no one would have anything to do with them. The churches, the religions of the world, are one of the main reasons that there is so much separation between mankind. People speak of love between each other, and how wonderful that would be to have on earth. But the religions of the earth are teaching hatred for the other religions of the earth. Now, if the major religions have no tolerance for the other major religions, what chance is there that they're going to tolerate smaller paths to God? Which, of course, they don't at all. Because the religions are so intertwined with the political nature of the world, the Christians of the Christian countries, for instance, can never say anything bad about a Muslim, let's say, for instance. But a group in their own country that they don't agree with, they have no difficulty or no qualm at all about completely destroying. It doesn't matter if it's the truth or not. They don't like it, and there's nobody to stop them from doing it. So any path to God that they wish to destroy, they set about doing so, and have repeatedly done so. We have seen in the United States numbers of groups, alternate paths to God, just literally destroyed and stopped. Between the government and the cooperation of the media. But again, the major religions of the world aren't openly put down. But when it comes time to teaching behind closed doors, it is made very clear to the children the evil that exists in the other religions. So this closed-mindedness makes it impossible for love of mankind to ever exist. And that is why there has to come forth a powerful teaching, an open-minded teaching, that will teach the people from childhood the need for respect, truly, for other religions of the earth. Then there's hope for some love. Then there's some hope for some care. Then it's possible that religions of the world can truly get along and not just grudgingly. So I want to talk about the miracle of love. Already in the miracle of love, there are signs of this exclusiveness of we have the truth, we have the religion of the world, and the others are basically are all just wrong. And this is just the beginning signs, just as the other religions did. which over decades leads to the point where, again, it's us and them. Where the people in the miracle of love do not like the people of the other religions because of the way they believe, because of what they stand for. Every man, woman, and child on this earth is a child of God, deserves total respect and care, and even love. And when I say even love, it's not that because they barely deserve it, we have to like try to love them. The only reason I say even love is because of the incapability of most people to show and express love to others. Know this, everybody who is making an effort of any kind to come closer to God, to understand more about God, to understand more about the truth, to expand their awareness, to meditate, these people and everyone deserve total respect and love. But we see that even people who leave the miracle of love are treated with disrespect. Why? If you are doing this, if you are any way participating in this, stop it immediately. Because doing so, you are acting out of ignorance. Everybody is going to get free from this material world. 100 lifetimes ago, you were not doing enough to get free. And there were those that could see it. Did that make you bad? Or any less? Or what to speak of? Did it give anybody reason to hate you because you weren't doing everything that you could do to get free? You simply did not want to get free at that lifetime. And in the same way now, most people don't want to get free. That's simply a fact. So what are you going to do? Walk around disliking these people? Showing them disrespect? If you do, you are only hurting yourself. Well, you are not only hurting yourself, you are also hurting the miracle of love, because you are misrepresenting what we are standing for. And that is, although it is going to take literally centuries, we will see love between men on this earth of all kinds. And the only way that's going to happen is by accepting them, no matter what path they're on, no matter what they're doing, that way and only that way. If you say, I'll like them if they come to the miracle of love and practice our principles and our philosophy, well, you're excluding practically everybody in the world. So what are you doing to yourself? You are cutting yourself off from sharing love with so many people. And it has got to stop. Even the people who are against the miracle of love, because they do not understand. Just because they do not understand does not give you any right to turn around and show equal dislike and even hatred for them.
So, just to kind of understand better about the, you know, the cycles of birth and death and what it takes to get to a point where you are trying to get free. So, at some point, was I someone who disliked the true pathway to God? I mean, was I in that position at some time where I turned away from, you know, and talked bad about?
Yes. Exactly. As was everyone on this earth. There was a point where you were completely against God and despised people who were searching for the truth and who wanted to find love of God. There was a time when you despised these people and even hated them. And of course, you belonged to religions that hated other religions. And very likely even killed other men and women simply because of the beliefs that they held to be true. This is totally due to a lack of awareness.
So then, in coming to the point where you really are face-to-face with the opportunity to get free, did you go through all those stages of lack of awareness where you were able to murder people and were where you acted the lowest, where you were the lowest being.
Yes, everyone in this material world has gone through practically every basic experience that there is to go through. Now, this does not mean that you did each and every exact thing that there is to do, but you basically did the things to express your hatred. In other words, now people may be using machine guns to kill people in other belief systems who believe differently than them. And maybe in a past life, you may have used a sword or a knife, but the same basic consciousness was there. In both cases, there was total hatred for a member of a different belief system. And such a hatred that took pleasure in killing a member of a group of people that simply believe differently than you did.
So does it just take like lifetimes of those kind of experiences to till then it's an offense to you? I mean, then you no longer have interest in behaving that way, and in fact it's offensive, that kind of behavior is offensive to you.
Yes, as you grow in awareness, as you grow in understanding, as you understand the truth more and more, you see the pointlessness and the ridiculousness nature of such behavior and the animalistic behavior of acting like this. In other words, you become more civilized. You become more evolved. You become more human and less animal. And in a more advanced, aware state, you would just not do any such thing. But we can't solve the problems of the world. With just a few rules, because the world won't follow the rules. The world won't even listen. The only way, as it is, it has been said, and other groups have said it, to change the consciousness of the world is to change the consciousness of mankind. And you do that bit by bit. You do that by changing the consciousness of the individuals in the world. So I want to focus on the people in the miracle of love. It is important that you do not hold bad feelings for other organizations. Because if you hold bad feelings for other organizations, then to a smaller degree, you are doing what the great religions of the world are doing. You are holding, to a smaller degree, hatred. You are holding feelings which are against God. God does not want these feelings to exist. God does not want these emotions to exist. He does not want you to hate members of other religions or other paths toward God. He wants you to accept them, truly accept them. But it's worse than that. Not only are people in the miracle of love not are hating members of the major religions, they are showing dislike for members within the miracle of love. Or I should say, they are showing dislike for the behavior of the members in the miracle of love. If the people in the miracle of love are not behaving according to how they conceive they should behave, then they do not like them. And they are treated in an ostracized fashion. We don't want this to exist. Not at all. We want everyone who has ever come to the miracle of love, or who is coming for the first time, to feel nothing but complete welcome and love and acceptance. This is so important. It has never been accomplished on this earth before. Now, of course, I am looking at the big picture, and that is what it's going to be like over centuries of time. There is practically no major religion on earth that truly teaches its children and young adults and adults to show great respect and love for people in other religions. And it is my desire that the miracle of love will be the first to accomplish this. Not for some reason of some gold star, but because it is what God wants to have happen. This is what God wants to go on this earth. God wants mankind to share a loving relationship with each other. And anything less than that is simply not acceptable.
What about the practice of an individual? I mean, you've talked about relationships between each other, but what kind of way can a person do what God wants within their own being? How can they utilize open-mindedness just for their own self and their own path?
Well, this is not something to put a show on about. In other words, you do not think and act outwardly that you truly care for somebody. But behind closed doors, you let your true feelings out and express your hatred and dislike for members of other religions. You must be completely sincere. And anyway, phoniness will not work. If you are acting with a member of another religion as if you truly respect them and care for them, and know that what they're doing is bringing them closer to God, but you do not really mean it, that person will feel it. They will understand it. They will know it. And then what do you have but a group of people who are more or less phony? They are pretending to like a member in another religion simply as a reason to follow the instruction of the leader. And this is a very bad thing, to put on a phony front. You must find true love. You must find true love. You must find true care. And as I've talked about before, you must at least find true respect.
Grossman, you mentioned about having hatred for someone of, you know, another religion, and that if you try to act like you don't have it, you're phony. But what do you do if you really have that feeling inside of you?
You mean hatred?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, do not say anything. And how can you do this work and not at least be able to show respect for another human being? I'm not saying that it's possible to show love to another person. But if you have done this work for any amount of time, it is certainly within your power to show at least respect for that person. Some care. And if you can't do that, then there is something seriously wrong. And you need to meditate and pray until you can find those feelings for others within you. But if you can't even give respect to another human being, if you can't even show respect, then you have a serious spiritual problem that you need to work on. Because these are basic emotions and characteristics that human beings must learn how to show for each other. So, not to put you down, but if you do have these feelings, if you actually can't even show respect for the other person, then you pray and you do whatever is necessary so that when you are with that other person, you can at least show respect.
Rasna, it seems like, you know, even within an organization, such as a miracle of love, if a person has a judgment of how their spiritual path should be, that they shouldn't have to meditate 3 times a week, or they shouldn't, have to go to lectures, or whatever their judgments are, it seems to me that that would really stand in the way of them getting closer to God. Is that right?
Not necessarily. Although it frequently is an indication. First of all, you don't know. Is the person meditating at home? A person might receive much more advancement and understanding and achieve a much greater depth by meditating at home than by meditating with the people at the center. And this is where judgments come in. You cannot judge another person and say, oh, they don't come to meditation so much, so they can't be very advanced. They can't be doing very much. They're just all talk. But when it comes down to really doing something and putting in the work, they're not doing anything. And this can be an offense to God and an offense to the person that you're talking about or thinking about. Although it is generally, or can be generally considered as an indication, because the reality is that when most people just stay home, the illusion, because of its strength and its power, will sway that person to do things that will not lead the individual toward God. So it is a way to derive some understanding about that person, but not necessarily. And you cannot draw harsh judgments about that person because of the way they are behaving.
So, Grasna, what's the best way to approach spiritual life or a spiritual path?
You have to approach it as you are led to approach it. Now, if you go to one of the counselors or one of the leaders of the organization and are given specific instructions on what to do in order to advance, and you do not do those things, then you are missing something. Then you have to consider that you are making a mistake.
So you're saying that if you make the choice to seek guidance, then you need to follow through. I mean, not that...
Yes.
You have the free will to choose whether you want guidance or not.
Yes.
But if you decide to seek it, then you need to follow through.
Yes.
Grasna?
Hmm.
If I'm on a spiritual path, and I have some concept of how I think it should be, and how I want it to be, is that really preventing me from... going as fast as I can, or is that hindering me in any way?
If you go to a master and ask for advice, the master gives you advice, and you totally ignore that advice, then you are... taking advice that has been handed to you freely. And missing out on a way to move forward quickly because of your ego, because you think you know better. Even though you have gone and thought after the advice, still, if you do not follow that advice, then why go? If you really believe that you have a better understanding of what it is that you need to do to advance spiritually, then there is no need to go and ask for spiritual advice. But if you were moved to go and ask for that advice, and then when the advice is given, you simply ignore it, then the chances are excellent that you are just... following the advice of the illusion and ignoring the advice of the truth of the light.
So, Grasna, let me see if I have this right. So what you're saying is that on a spiritual path that you need to stay open or have open-mindedness as to how your path should be and what you're going to be asked to do.
Yes. Yes.
So you're not approaching it with a concept of how you think it should be, and have that be the guiding force of
your yes. In other words, people will go and they'll ask for advice. But when they're going, they want to hear a certain type of advice. They want to hear a type of advice which will fall in the arena of what they want to do. And when they are not given advice that falls within that arena, they reject that advice and just do whatever they feel like anyway, then this is an indication that the ego is running the show. And what is really running the show is, of course, the ego.
I have a question. So, what about if I've just started the work and I'm not really brave enough to go and seek advice?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, everyone seems to be responding to the work in a pretty much the same way. They cry, they have experiences with God, you know, they want to give up their life, and whatever, there tends to be a similar experience in a group of people, and yet I'm experiencing it different.
Yes.
Does this mean that I really am missing the God element in the work? Or do individuals actually have different experiences?
Yes. No. Everyone's experience is different. And this cannot be said enough. There are no two people who will experience God in the same way. There are no two people who will have the realization of God the same way. There are no two people who will find understanding in the same way. Even with the same advice. For instance, let's say a husband and wife go in to a master to ask for advice. And the master gives basically the same advice to both parties. Let's say like a husband and wife. And they practice it basically the same. But one member receives an entirely different type of experience. And the other one receives another type of experience. Do not judge yourself. Because everybody grows. Everybody's path to God is different. And it will always be that way. In other words, every time you receive advice, when you apply it to your life, it will have a different effect on you than it will have upon the person standing next to you, or even your wife or your husband.
Rasana? I've heard that David Swanson had the quality of open-mindedness. How did this affect his path to God?
Well, Well, how it affected it mainly is that it allowed him to move very quickly. He didn't doubt. He didn't question. Everything that was told to him. He had complete trust and faith. Of course, because of his advanced nature, he was receiving guidance directly from the Lord. And he accepted all advice. Every bit of knowledge that came to him from the Lord, he accepted 100% and followed 100% without any doubt at all. He accepted it as 100% truth, and he did not doubt it one bit. And with this type of attitude, you can move so rapidly. In other words, so many people, they hear information or they hear advice, but then they go home and they wonder, well, maybe they were wrong, or maybe they didn't quite understand what I said, or, you know, they second guess what was being taught to them. Whereas David Swanson, when he was given advice on what to do, he had such complete trust in what was given to him, the instructions that were given to him, that he followed them without question. And totally followed the instructions without any hesitation. So that he received the maximum benefit that it's practically possible to receive from God. Now, where people get hung up the most in their beliefs and in their concepts is at the time of death. The Christians believe that Jesus is going to be standing there, their grandmother and grandfather are going to be standing there, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, anybody who has died is all going to be standing there waiting to welcome them. That is what they believe. I'll just speak of them because most of you are familiar with Christianity. The rest of the world believes just a wide variety of different ways that it's going to be at the time of death. Now, of course, who teaches the people how it's going to be at the time of death? It's the religions. Now people hear about these near-death experiences. But these near-death experiences that people have are very close to what they were taught in their religion. In other words, the Christians, when they died, They saw Grandpa there and Grandma there and other relatives there, because that's the way the Christians believe. The Buddhists don't see anything like that because they weren't taught anything like that. Due to their belief, it is so important that at the time of your death, that you are wide open on how it's going to be. And this includes the true realm, how it is going to be for you at the time of your death.
Crossing?
Yes?
I have a concept that when you're on a spiritual path, that there's a certain grace that you get in death. Like your death won't be violent or traumatic, but it'll be like a peaceful death because you're on a spiritual path.
No, that's not true.
So it makes no difference if you're on a spiritual path what kind of death you're going to have.
Correct. It can, though. It can make a difference. But if you think because you're on a spiritual path that you're guaranteed some type of, heavenly, flowery type of death, then you're making a mistake. The main thing is that you are wide open to however it is. Simply be open to how it is. If you hold on, if you hang on to how you believe it's going to be, this can hold you up a great deal. This can slow you down a great deal. So when you die, it is important to die with a very open mind. And be ready for anything. There are so many ways that you may die. There are so many things that may happen. You simply cannot hold a concept in your mind. Without causing some damage. For instance, look at the Christians. The Christian is expecting Jesus to be there, and the grandfather and the grandmother and the relatives, etc., etc. Well, when that Christian dies, many of them are just bewildered because this is nothing like they were taught. And because they held on to the concept and the belief that they were taught, they are left in somewhat of a confused, bewildered state because it is nothing like they were taught it was going to be.
So, Ralph, now what's the difference between a Christian holding that when they die, they're going to see Jesus and the family, and, it's going to be this heavenly gate that they're going to walk into, than someone in the miracle of love holding this concept that they will be greeted by the true realm and that all the light beings will be there to welcome them?
A very good point. When someone leaves their body, when someone dies in the miracle of love, it is especially important for them to be completely wide open to how it is going to be. Because there are a number of ways that it may be. There is no one way that it is going to be for anybody. And I know that people have already formed concepts and are thinking it is going to be just like this when I die, and I'm going to enter into this existence when I die, and it's going to be just like this. And in the majority of the cases, nothing could be further but the truth. From the truth. How they will get there. What experiences they are going to go through before they achieve that state. What they are going to learn before they come to that place. On and on. That is why this tape is being made. There is no one way that anybody leaves their body. That is why that is the most important time for a human being to be wide open. Because there are a number of ways, there are a number of experiences that may happen for someone dying in the miracle of love. And if you are open, there is no problem, because it is just going to be good. And you will carry on, and it will be a very sweet, ever-increasing experience for you. But if you are holding on to a way that you want it to be and expect it to be, then you can hold yourself up. So you must be open-minded, and in no way hold on to a way that you think it should be. It can be just as detrimental for a miracle of love person to have a concept as for a Christian to have a concept. You will be given a set of circumstances. You will learn. It will be another world. And depending on how far you advanced and where you are going to, you will end up in any number of locations and situations. So you must remain completely wide open, especially at the time of death. And I just want to say something about children. When children die, they are given special guidance and assistance so that they can understand what is going on and they are being and they are led and given direction in a way that they will understand what is going on and what they need to do. So the children are not like lost out there. They are especially taken care of and given special care, especially for anyone who has ever had a child die on them. They are given special care. They are shown special ways to go, and they will receive special treatment which will help them evolve, and they, in many cases, will evolve much better than the adults because of the special treatment that they are given. Give up all your concepts. Give up how it's going to be in your life. Give up how you think it's going to be for you in the miracle of love. Don't hold on to a concept that it's going to be this way or that way. Be open-minded at all times. And in that open-minded state, you will move the fastest. And you will understand the most. It is when you hold on tightly to a way that you want it to be, or you believe it should be, that slows you down and causes trouble. So please keep an open mind at all times in your practice in the miracle of love, and especially at the time of death. Does anyone have any more questions? All right, so I think that's enough. This is enough for people to have an understanding of how to approach their spiritual life and the importance of keeping an open mind so that they can move at the fastest rate possible.